Welcome to another edition of the Life 2.0 podcast. John St. Augustine with you. Time to go up the down staircase, kids, in the outdoor, take a look at the sense in the senseless, and if at all possible, find the obvious, shouldn't be too hard, buried in the friggin' absurd. Let's get to it. Well, I hope this finds you well wherever you're listening in the world. My first and foremost, our thanks to the people who subscribe to this podcast for the last 3 years. I've been very lucky and blessed to have people who enjoy what I do and find value in it, are willing to plunk down $20 a month, $5 a week. That's 66 cents a day for those of you who have public school education. And I'm appreciative of that. You got a lot of choices that you could do with your money and things that you could do. And the people that choose to support this, I find that of the highest order, and it's very humbling every time that that they do that. So I appreciate that. And for those of you who are not subscribers, but you're listening on their dime, I hope you enjoy it as well. Little dig there. Sorry, just who I am. Not much has been going on for the last couple weeks, huh? Been pretty quiet out there, all quiet on the Western Front. Of course not. So, as I've said on different podcasts over the last few years, I really never want to just fire up this microphone. I have too much respect for it to just bloviate, speculate, and verbally defecate over every single thing that goes on in the world, because that's what the media does most of all without me. Doesn't need my help to do that. So when I do turn on the mic, I'm hoping that whatever I'm offering has value and that it finds a place consideration in your life. And so today I was thinking, you know, I got stuff going on. It's been a long week. My daughter's had a major surgery last week and she's doing well, which is good, but my mind has been in a lot of other places and all that type of stuff. And yet a couple things took place that I could not ignore. And I thought, well, how do I couch this the best way that I can? The truth is that in some way, shape, or form, this is a little bit like therapy for me. I'm doing this a long time. And I realized a long time ago that I'm kind of first chair here, especially when I'm having a guest, which doesn't happen very much on this show for different reasons in the last year or so, but more of a bug house square, a bully pulpit, get up on the stump and rattle the cages a little bit. I'm a little bit more comfortable doing that these days, and we'll get back to guests another time, but I really started thinking about what was going on and how it relates to my life and the people I care about, and I realized that I was watching Facebook is not the best indicator of human behavior, but it is an indicator. And I find it fascinating that people argue who don't know each other, who can't fix what they're arguing about. They just want to argue, which is always like a kind of like a core sample. Like when you go to the ice flow and you get that core sample ice, you could pull up and see what was going on since the beginning of time. Well, Facebook to me is like a core sampling of human behavior, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No question of that. And so with the recent events in Washington, D.C., that are still lingering, while that was last week, there's more to come, in my opinion, because it just doesn't, you sweep enough shit under the rug, you keep tripping until the shit's removed. And however you look at that, that's up to you. But I watched these friends of mine who are totally on opposite sides of the aisle. And by the way, there's more than one aisle at this point when it comes to politics. We have been divided and sliced up and put in so many demographic files that I lost count. And there once was a time that you were just a Democrat or a Republican. Then, maybe you're an independent. So there was three. Well, now you can be like a RINO, R-I-N-O, a Republican in name only, or a Dino, Democrat in name only. You could be a RINO and a Dino, like Fred Flintstone. So it just keeps getting more and more divisive. And you find people, that are just clamoring over each other to fit in somewhere. And I watched these two guys that I know, both good guys, no doubt about that. They're family men and worked hard to do their thing. But when you lift the lid, they are very, very different inside when it comes to seeing the events that transpired in Washington last week. On one side, there was a guy who said this is absolutely no different than the Black Lives Matter protest that raged on last summer. No different. Same thing. You know, tit for tat. Goes around, comes around. It's no different. Could not see any difference. And the other guy was livid, and he couldn't believe his friend, at least these guys know each other to some degree, saw it that way. And he kept trying to point out to this guy, the first guy, he's like, you know, well, please make comparison. Show me exactly how you, of course, there wasn't any comparisons. And so this went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And it doesn't take long, and this is not anything new, to realize that, you know, we don't see things as they really are. We see things as we really are. Therein lies the great difficulty of humanity. And so you could have four people in a room and have each one of them look at the same corner and they'll all see something different and argue who was right. That's just part of who we are. It keeps us back, it holds us back, and pushes us apart, which is unfortunate, but it's true. And knowing that helps me, for the most part, until it doesn't, meaning at some point I'm like, enough is enough of this stuff. And so I was going to let it go, because there's truly nothing I can do about it. The only thing I did last week when the chaos of the Capitol went down is I was extremely agitated on a lot of different levels for a lot of different reasons. And I think I have to find out something I can do with this agitation and this energy that was ramping up in me that's positive. And the only thing I could do was to think of opening the closet, taking out my flag, the American flag, and putting it outside at night and turning the light on it. It's been out ever since. And it's just a silent affirmation to me that we've been through a lot before and we will get through this as well. And that standard that flies has seen it all. While we come and go, it will remain battered and tattered as it is. And so I thought that was kind of like my thing. That just gave me a sense of peace, and I just put that there, and that was good. And then over the last few days, as I mentioned, I watched people, you know, arm wrestling and all this stuff back and forth, and it's just it's mind-boggling and mind-numbing at the same time. So I thought I was clear of all that, for the most part, until about 10 o'clock this morning, and I got an email from a guy, or like a message from a guy about something I had written on Tuesdays on Facebook. I always put up a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. It's called Tuesday with Teddy. And I put up a Theodore Roosevelt quote. I'm a Ted head, have been since I was a 9 or 10 year old kid. And while everything he did wasn't perfect, I get it. I found him to be vibrant and a representation of progress and how you live a lifestyle that's strenuous and you push forward. And that's what I grew up with. And the quote actually says this, quote, of course, we need intellect, and there is no reason why we should not have it together with character. But if we must choose between the two, we choose character without a moment's hesitation. However, too often we see those of shallow character puff up their imagined accomplishments in order to appeal to the lower intellectuals as a way to attract them to bolster their own sagging ego. True leadership is in actions for the greater good, not simply hollow words about supposed victories. And that was actually Colonel Roosevelt before he was the president in 1898. And I always put those up on Tuesdays. And so just the way social media runs, people don't see it when I put it up. Sometimes it's a few days later. So hence the little backstory there. And I get this message this morning from a guy who thanked me for putting that up there. And he went on and on to talk about how, that he felt that the current president was exactly what Theodore Roosevelt was all about, that they were basically the one and the same. I disagreed with that vehemently, and I said, listen, I appreciate the comparison, but have you actually read history or read anything about Roosevelt? And, well, not really, but I know he was a tough guy and this and that, stood up and did things. And I'm like, well, you need to really read the history of TR to understand why I disagree. So why don't you do some of that? And you know, if you want to continue the conversation, you know, let me know. And that was like setting off some sort of a fuse in this guy. And all of a sudden he started jumping. You know, again, this is texting or like online with a messenger. I'm typing this. We're not talking. And there's a certain boldness, I think, that comes when you're when you're just texting or typing. You know, you're not in the same vicinity with that person. And I really don't know this guy very well. I don't know exactly where he lives. I think he's in Atlanta. But a lot of people know me because of the books and the radio. And so I have quite a few people that are connected online, but I don't, of course, know them all personally. And he was going on and he says, well, you're just like the rest of them. And I'm like, what, rest of who? And it was just this, the lid opened up again. There was something tripped this guy's, you know, virtual trigger, and it was off to the races. It was all nice up to a certain point, but when I disagreed with him, all of a sudden I'm one of them. And I'm like, well, then them who? This was intriguing to me. This was like a sociology experiment or a human behavior experiment starting. And he, well, you're one of those that's just like, you know, like a Democrat. I'm like, you don't know that. You have no idea about that. Well, then, you know, you're this and you're this. And he, this guy was going on pointing all these things out. And then he went on to this long tirade about how the current president was basically the savior, and that he was going to keep all their liberties intact because, you know, they're losing their liberties left and right, and all of those things. It was just, and I just watched this fascinating. It's like sticking a pin in something, and it, this is what came out. And as I've said before, you know, you squeeze tomatoes, you get tomato juice, and you squeeze oranges, you get orange juice, and you squeeze humans, all kind of shit comes out. And if we've never been squeezed like this, you know, a long time. I mean, it's always something going on, but this has just been really interesting. Sad, but interesting, I would might add. And when I finished, I said, I just have a question for you. Yeah, what's that? You know, what's that? Which liberties specifically have you lost? Well, he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you said you're losing your liberties. Which ones have you lost? What's been taken from you in the last 20 years? Well, that's beside the point. Oh, no, that is the point. You know, so the rant was that somehow the current president needed to stay in office no matter what to secure the liberties that they were losing, whoever they are. And I asked him which liberties they were losing, and he couldn't name one. Not a one. And I said, well, did you lose your right to bear arms? No. Did you lose your right to vote? No. Did you lose your right to congregate? You know, and obviously, if you're one of the people that feel like you need to run up the Capitol steps and break windows out, did you lose the right to do that? People did that. There's consequences, but they did that. Well, no. Did you lose your right to drive? Which liberty have you lost? Couldn't name a one. Couldn't name a one. Do you practice your religion as you see fit? Does somebody walk in and tell you, you know, that they're taking away, you know, your house or your lands? Which liberty have you lost? That was the end of the responses. We live in a world that's really good at shouting at each other. We love to do that, but very often we don't ask really good questions. We're all talking too much, but there's not enough questions and answers going on. And so that was really the start. I learned that a long time ago. You know, if you really want to get down to what's going on, you got to get specific, because otherwise you live in generalities and nothing changes there. That's just, you know, that's just bloviation of the highest order. You got to ask some questions. And the questions have to be succinct and specific and somewhat intelligent and pointed. So this person retreated when I asked a simple series of questions, which, matter of fact, is one big question with smaller sub-questions. Which liberties have you lost in the last 20 years? And there aren't any. This is the United States of America. You can kind of do what you want to do here. We all know that. We see it on the news every day. There's consequences to that, but you're allowed to do it. And that, to me, was the beginning and the end of the whole shouting shooting match. Pun intended. No liberties lost. Lives have been lost. Lives have been changed. Landscapes have been changed. And I mean political and personal and all across the board. And that was, to me, the thing. That was the thing. And it goes back to what TR said. You know, in my opinion, and I concur with him, that true leadership is in the action. Is in the action for the greater good, not simply just words about supposed victories over liberties being lost that aren't. So for me, it gets easier and easier going along to not get so tied up into this stuff, because I watch people just hold their position and argue and zero changes. Maybe friendships are lost. I heard of people who have totally disconnected from family members because they don't want to deal with it, then it's working. Then you fall right into the trap. Then you're in the file drawer somewhere. So that was a really interesting morning. And I had to go downtown Chicago today, and I was thinking about I was driving, and I was going to go get a haircut. I don't have a lot of hair, but I can still go. I went to the barber, and there was a guy waiting in line there. And that's what you do in Chicago. If they're not open right on time, you stand in line and wait for the barber. Well, come to find out that the barber hasn't been there for a couple days for whatever reason, and you know, I'm hoping he's not sick or had the COVID or kicked, and the other guy just complained. He was just going on and on about the guy was an ass and he should put up a sign. I'm like, well, what if he can't? I mean, it's possible with all that's going on in the world, maybe he's sick. Well, he should have somebody come over and do that so we don't have to wait. Oh, the loss of liberty is just so horrible. I'm like, it's this guy's business. Wait 10 minutes. Okay, if it goes on for a month or a week, sure. But maybe there's mitigating factors in here. But so quick to judge this guy who he's like, he's a great barber, but apparently he doesn't want my business anymore. Wow, okay. Interesting. So I waited about 15 minutes and I bugged out and I thought, well, I'll circle back and come back in an hour or so and see if the guy's open. And my whole thought is, geez, I hope he's all right. This is a barber shop. And even though you have to have a mask going in, there's people coming in and out all the time. You don't know what they're bringing in the place. So this guy's kind of putting his health on the line to earn a living. And this other guy's complaining because it's not open on time. Interesting. So I decide that I'm going to run out and get a hot dog. A Chicago-style hot dog. And right down the street from the barber is Susie's Beef, where you can get some really dadgum good Chicago hot dogs with the whole trimmings on it. Green relish, onion, celery salt, pickle, mustard, no ketchup, poppy seed bun, steamed, rolled in with French fries. It's like 10:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, hey, I've been up since 4. That's lunchtime for me. And I go there and Susie's is closed due to illness. So what to do? So I start driving around, and this is my old neighborhood. This is where I grew up, spent most of my time. And for me, going back there is like a cleanse. I get to go back to a time, even though there's only one or two people I think that I would even know in that whole area. I don't recognize, you know, the houses have all changed and stuff, but it's my area and it's my neighborhood. And it's like being dipped in magic waters, as they said in the Field of Dreams. And it does me good to go there. So I'm driving around and looking at stuff, and pretty soon I'm up to the place we call Six Corners here in Chicago. It's changed drastically. My dad used to work at the bank up there. It's just a big hole in the ground. The big Sears store has been shuttered for about a year and a half. It's going to be apartment buildings, and the whole area has changed. And I started to think about change, that it's inevitable, and we hate it, and we don't like it. And I'm driving along, thinking of how much this area has changed. Well, when I was a kid, it was like this bustling hub of commerce, and man, what a place to grow up. And you could walk up to the Sears with your mom and go to the sidewalk sale and go over to Woolworths and get a cheeseburger, and then right down the street was Herman's Sporting Goods and Cook's Sporting Goods and the bookstore and Rexall Drug and Fannie Mae and all in the bank where my dad worked, and of course Sears. And that's all gone. The buildings are there, but what's in those buildings is no longer. And then I started thinking about the conversation with this guy this morning online, who I barely know, and how scared people are of change. Yet it's the one thing that makes everything work. Everything changes. And it just kind of clicked in my head how fearful you must be of change to be so angry about it. Even 10 minutes late, because the guy always opens at 10. He's not here. It's his fault. It's terrible. And our ability to be fluid with change is, to me, like a really important factor. And we don't do well with that overall. So driving along, and I said, well, I got to get something eaten. And I find myself, not in an area I'm too familiar with because everything's changed, about 3 or 4 miles west of Six Corners. It's all different. And I'm sitting at the light. I'm like, I'm really hungry. So my plan is, okay, I'll get something to eat. It's been about an hour. I'll loop back around. If the barber's not there, I'll just bug out. And the last place I want to go when I'm in the city is like a fast food place, like a McDonald's or whatever, Wendy's, because you get that anywhere. I want to go to a guy who owns a place that he's making his living off it. And he makes the hot dogs himself and all that. And couldn't find it. Nothing open. There on the corner is a Burger King. All right. So I drive into the Burger King. And there's nobody else in line. I pull up, and a very delightful female voice is going to help you. And I order a couple Whopper Juniors with cheese and a small Coke. Keeping it light, kids. Keeping it light. No problem. I pull up, and she's got her mask on, a very delightful Asian young lady. Couldn't tell if she was Japanese, Chinese, Korean, but very, it was Asian. And she was just delightful. The energy when she opened the window just like it came out. Hi, good morning. Thank you for stopping. Like she owned the Burger King. It was like $7.58. I give her the money. She gives me a cup back with the change. I give her the cup back empty, and she gives me my Coke and a straw. She says, can you pull around to the front? I said, sure. So I pull around to the front, and I'm waiting. And I look at my Coke cup. And on the Coke cup is a Post-it note. And at first glance, I thought, is this like a marketing thing from Burger King? Now it's like a fake Post-it note on there with something. It's not a fake Post-it note. It's a real little tiny Post-it note. And on that Post-it note, it says, and I have it right here, and it's going to stay here for a long time. It says, visualize your highest self and start showing up. And I had to look at it again. Visualize your highest self and start showing up. And I fiddled with it. Like, is this attached, really? I've never seen that. I've been at Burger King about a million times in my life and never got a Post-it note like that. So the delightful young lady comes dancing out of the front door and here's your lunch, sir, and thank you so much. I said, excuse me, did you put this Post-it note on my Coke cup? And she says, oh, yes, I do that with everybody. I'm just trying to make the world a better place. Those words went, it just tilted everything in a good direction. It just tilted everything. It balanced it all out. And I just said, how long have you been doing this? She goes, well, I've worked here about a year, and I've been doing it for about the last 6 or 8 months because, you know, things have been difficult and the COVID and stuff, and I just want people coming through. It's my way to make their day a little bit brighter. Thank you. And she kind of ran back in because it was cold out. And I sat there with my mask on, and if she had seen me without my mask, she'd see my jaw hanging open. So let's look at the day I had and the interactions. On one hand, here's somebody near Atlanta, Georgia, who I barely know, that has been connected in a social way, in social media, and is arguing about the end of the world, basically, and all this stuff that's, and how much he's losing, and the liberties, and end of the world, and all that stuff. And then just a few hours later, I'm at a drive-thru at Burger King, and here's a girl from another country, clearly, or her parents are from another country, clearly, and she's putting Post-it notes on soft drink cups in the drive-thru to make the world a better place. And I say to myself as I sit back, where do I put my focus today? What do I do with this? Do I sit and think about this guy who is so afraid that he's losing something that he needs somebody to believe in to make him feel better? Does he have any idea what it would be like to visualize his highest self and start showing up on his own, and then you don't have to worry about that? You don't get played that way? And so I was sitting around this afternoon doing a bunch of other things that I have to get done before the weekend, and it just popped into my head to share all this. You know, it's really like, I guess, look at a range of emotions and a range of experience in one day. And I wanted to get a hot dog. They were all closed. And I go through a drive-thru at a Burger King, and I get this gift. Visualize your highest self and start showing up. There's also a little smiley face, like two eyes and a smile on it. Complete stranger. Versus the guy this morning who thinks that I'm with that group over there that's trying to take away his life. Stark contrast. So when I finished, I just kind of sat there like, what am I going to do? And do I go in and tell the manager it was great? Or I'm like, I'm just going to sit with this and leave it be. So I ate my lunch. I drove back to the barbershop. They were closed. Still not there. The guy's gone. The other guy was waiting outside. Is gone. And my first thought was, God, I hope nothing's terrible happened to our barber. People come from far and wide to get their ears lowered by this guy, and I hope he's okay. That was my only thought. And so when I got back, finished up my work, did a few things, and turned on the microphone just to share that with you. There's a lot going on in the world. It's hard. It's always been hard. Always will be. We look for the gaps in between. We look for the post-it notes, eh? And look for those things that can hold you up, because there's so much in the world that will absolutely bring you down. But when you look at across the board and you go start digging into our history and you look at the difficulties we've been through before and the massive changes that are always taking place, you have a choice to make. You can either be a victim of change or a participant. You can either send post-it notes to people in the drive-thru, or you can rail against the rest of the people in your country thinking somehow they're making your life bad. And that flag is still up. It will stay up until I decide that I feel better enough to put it away. That this country that I served as a veteran, the country I grew up in, and the country that I believe in, is bigger than any of us put together. It is far bigger than all of us. It's an ideal put together by some flawed but really smart people a long time ago. And we're constantly trying to fit underneath that banner that they held up and all those declarations that they put together. And we're scrambling all the time to make it fit our own way. And rarely does that ever happen. We are constantly in flux. So you're either a victim of it or a participant of it. And you can't be both, at least not at the same time. Visualize your highest self and start showing up. Until next time, take care. Safe travels. Adios.